Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly joining us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to lead with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And if you'd like to read the expanded version of these, visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. They're right there. All right, so we welcome everyone who's joining us live tonight, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate your time. It looks like we've got a few folks in the chat room, too. Tonight, the topic is reclaiming civility. And I think it's an apropos topic for especially these times, Dr. Hunter.
Well, you know, we've discussed this of late, that there's some behavior out there that emboldens people, I think, at times, or like to say what they ordinarily would have controlled before, or people just feel like they have permission to be bolder and reactive. And that's why I thought, you know, we really, I think we would do ourselves a favor by sharing some ideas about how to reclaim our civility and how to stay civilized during these times. So that's where I really want to lead in with this. If anybody has any comments, please feel free to share in the chat, and you know, we'll address things as they go. One of the most recent incidences that I faced myself is a couple of weeks ago. I went into the liquor store to get a bottle of wine and came up to, it was a busy store. Went up to the checkout, and there was a fellow just in front of me who was paying for his items, and he got his bag, he took his receipt, and he turned around and looked at some fellow behind me and started swearing and yelling like crazy about this guy's dog. He said, "You let your pit bull sniff me. You shouldn't let a pit bull." And I tell you, the profanities and the language, and everybody is shocked. Like, this came out of nowhere. And before anybody had a moment to say, what's going on here, I mean, the guy ran out of the store. Well, I turn around, and if this dog is a pit bull, I'm surprised. But that's not the point. It's a service dog with a service collar, service coat on. And there is a fellow with special needs with his service dog. And I went over to him and I said, "Can I pet your dog? And don't worry about people. They're just angry these days." He says, "I know, my dog is a sweetheart." And that actually inspired other people. The woman came out from behind the cash. Other people were there. And I saw that he got a lot of support in those moments. And I thought, this is what we need to do for each other, to insulate ourselves and support each other through these moments that are less than a little insane, if you want to know. But here I'm thinking, you know, if that fellow had an issue with a dog and the dog was smelling him, he could have said, excuse me, I'm afraid of dogs. I'm afraid of dogs, or I'm not comfortable with your dog being near me. That would have been a reasonable, assertive thing to kind of say.
Definitely.
But he didn't. He waited. He seethed and he seethed and he waited until he could blow a gasket and cowardly run out of the store. Now, this is what I mean by people are reactive. They're boiling in their emotions and just behaving badly. So, sorry about that. My phone's ringing. We'll just ignore it.
That was me. I was calling you to see if you what you were doing tonight.
No, sorry. So one of the things at that moment reminded me of my own sense, feel, think, and do process that I really want to talk about tonight to find solutions for ourselves to retain our civility. But I think we first have to understand what civility is. And it's not just about, oh, go through the world just being kind and nice and never mind the bad people. That's not it. Civility is having a protocol of manners, a protocol of human respect and regard. And to me, that's where, you know, you sit down to the table and you eat with a fork. That's civility. You say please and thank you, at least in our culture, that's civility. And so it's really digging deep to say, what is my civility? What is my, what's my etiquette? What's my decency with human beings? So that's a first thing. So that even when you feel, ooh, a little frustrated or this is kind of crazy and the people in the store aren't listening to me, it's to just suck it up, take a breath, civility. And because sometimes I think we get carried away with all the other self-talk, just one word. And if maybe you find your own word to just take that breath and go deep inside yourself. So that's the first part of what I like to get across. But we're all sensory feeling beings before we think and act. And this is the process. So if I'm feeling a certain way, like right away having an anxiety attack, I acknowledge that I'm having an anxiety attack. And then I ask myself what I'm sensing about the environment, the situation, an individual, whatever it is, so that I'm activating my intuition. I'm activating my autosensory perception, activating my other psychic abilities, whatever it is. So now I'm thinking. And acknowledging those internal mechanisms, then I'm thinking about the situation. And then I can decide how I want to respond. And that's, to me, really critical. Not react, but we still have to go through that process. Now, it might seem like, oh, gee, I have to sense, feel, think, and do. You'll get good enough at it that it's automatic. Like even in that moment, in that liquor store, my first initial reaction is shock. You got to gauge the situation. It comes out of nowhere. That's the last thing you expect at a cash register. But just sensing it, so, okay, I'm acknowledging there's a crisis here. And my sense was just stay still. That really was, it's like everybody just stay still. When the guy left, then we're gauging the environment. So my initial response then is as I'm thinking and I decide to act is go over to this fellow. So knowing that somebody needed care. So that's a process right there. Now, had this fellow decided to not run out of the store, had he decided to continue to be antagonistic, then we step back. The first law of self-defense is run. So everybody remember that. If you're challenged in any way, you back up, give space, you turn around, you walk away, if able. There are times you want to stand up for yourself. I understand. We'll get to that. But you back up, give him space, and share in the energy of other people so that there's some kind of buffer between yourselves and whoever this is who's antagonistic.
And one thing I could, and if you don't mind me interjecting, is look past the face you see.
Yes.
It takes a lot of strength. A lot of people are just, they have their stuff going on. They're angry. They have their own issues. And they may react. You look beyond the face you see. You don't have to reply to them. You know, respond, don't react. Dr. Angie said, you know, act, don't react, the same thing. So look past the face you see. You don't have to reply. You can just stand there and look at them, or you can turn around and walk away.
Exactly. I'm totally with you on that. So it's, but had he continued or pursued to be angry, then we've got a different kind of situation that relies on all your skills. But civility is the key. It's remembering that you're civil. To even in your response figure, like when I was young, I was a bit of a scrapper. So, I mean, I would have gotten in his face, which is dumb. But, you know, a little bit of wisdom would have, you know, helps. So it's just to, but stand, I am the kind who stands between the victim and the offender. I figure if somebody can't stand, because your intuition tells you if somebody can't fend for themselves. I didn't need eyes in the back of my head to know that somebody may have had a disability with their dog in a store. Otherwise, people don't bring their dogs in a store, at least not here. So I had a pretty good sense that this is a service dog and you know, to go there. But it's, if you're alone in that situation, you walk away. But if you got other people, hopefully there's a buffer between the one who's being victimized and an offender. I saw a video clip today out of British Columbia, I might add, where a young woman was getting her nails done and continued to ask this, and it got ended up on videotape. She was challenging the woman to say, "You didn't fix my nails. They're not, like, they're all different lengths." And it escalated to five workers in this shop attacking this young woman, refusing to let her out of the shop. And it got physical. The girl's crying. They won't let her out. Now, the people who are picking up on the other side of the glass, they can't get in. The door's locked. They're calling the police. And I'm thinking, wow, that went bonkers. What the girl did when she was afraid is she escalated 1 to 10. Like, she was being victimized, no question. It wasn't being handled well by anyone. But she escalated to a 0 to 10 in a flash because she was afraid. Totally understandable. Now, there's that flight or fight mechanism. She went into flight, and that escalated all the other workers. The next thing you know, it's a physical altercation, and she's hysterical and literally getting a little bit beaten up, I'm afraid. Now, as the police came, it you know, got handled. But that, I thought, wow, that's another case of this lack of civility. If you're running a business and you're challenging somebody, somebody's challenging you, then where is the, you know, the customer service in there? And trying to negotiate this, you know, in a good way. That didn't happen. So whether it's something as simple as, geez, I'm unhappy with my nails, or somebody just being a nut job because somebody's dog sniffed him. This is the kind of thing we're dealing with, and we have to remain in our bodies. The minute you step outside your body or you disconnect, you have lost control. And it's certainly a better way to say it is you have lost management of yourself to control the situation. So that's just the reminder of, you know, behaviors. I know, Dr. Kelly, I know you're thinking of something you want to say right there. So go ahead.
I was going to talk about customer service, but if you...
No, go ahead. Please.
Thinking of something else.
No.
I just wanted to chime in about the whole customer service thing. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a piece of equipment I'd taken to a repair shop to get an estimate and all that, and they told me they'd call me by Friday. It was Wednesday. They'd call me by Friday. Didn't hear from them. Called them Saturday morning. after many rings, it was some guy finally picked up, and he was agitated that I even called. Well, if they didn't call you yesterday, then it's not ready, you know, and that's not what they told me. And it's just a little thing. It's all these moments of truth. You know, a moment of truth can be any time you make form an opinion about something, someone. It can be positive or negative. And that was a moment of truth. It was a negative. And so, you know, I called Monday because, you know, that's what I did. And again, the guy was a bit agitated, different guy too. And so anyway, by Tuesday, I'd gotten the call and the estimate and declined. So that's just one example. There's so many examples. And this is one thing that, you know, if you work somewhere, you work in retail, you work with customers, whatever, you know, you have to understand who your paymaster is. It's not your boss. It's the customer. They're the ones who are responsible for paying your paycheck,
exactly.
Not your boss. If they don't come in, your boss has nothing to pay you with. So bear in mind who the paymaster is and treat them accordingly. And being in customer service, it takes a lot of strength too and a lot of courage, and you got to just let things roll off your back. But, you know, treat people decently. And there are a lot of other examples too, and I don't want to say it all at once, but I'm sure you're going to get into manners at some point, so we'll talk about that when you do.
Well, you know, even if somebody doesn't understand basic customer service, the least we can do is understand human civility.
Yeah.
Like it's just not.
Not.
It's not civilized to get, like, snap at people, get angry with them. Whether you understand who's who and what the place is, it's just that human integrity and be civilized. You know, and look, you don't even have to be really nice. How are you today? I'm just saying be civilized. You know, I went into a local store looking for tracing paper. And matter of fact, I'll tell you, it's Staples. Went in there. I said, I need some tracing paper. And, well, I looked all over the store, couldn't find it. So I went to customer service. I said, can you tell me where the tracing paper is? She didn't even look up aisle 6. Okay. I looked down aisle 6, I'm sorry. And she didn't even look up. She snapped at me a third of the way down on the left. Okay, thank you very much. I went down. It's not there. At least I can't find it. I went back. Three times I went back to the checkout counter saying, could somebody please help me find the tracing paper? Maybe it's there. I'm just not seeing it. And I'm doing it in the nicest way possible. And finally, and I kid you not, now I'm getting a little bit PO'd. I went up to the cash and I said, somebody please take me to the tracing paper and do not send me down aisle 6 by myself again. I can't find it. Now, at that point, somebody did walk me down. Well, it wasn't anywhere near where that woman said it was. It was like way down somewhere else. And I looked at the woman who was there. I said, I thank you very much. I appreciate your help. It's a very kind thing you just did. And I went and paid for it. But all these other people, like, that's not even civilized. Never mind the service. They're not even being civilized.
Right.
And this is why I say that if we don't understand what service is, if we don't understand what, you know, we do understand civility, which comes in the form of basic manners. Most people are not aware that they chew food with their mouth open, which is mind-boggling to me. But it's that self-awareness. And I know a lot of people don't have it, but they can at least be aware of others to perform civilly. Just be in a civilized manner. When it comes to good manners, it is just that cordiality. Is look at people when you're talking to them. Please look at people when you're talking to them. Don't look at the floor. Don't look at your phone. Don't look somewhere else. It's look at somebody to acknowledge them. Nothing is more profound to me than when the checkout man or woman looks at me and says, thanks, have a nice day. And I look at them square in the face and I said, that's awesome. Thank you very much. It's that interaction. It's called humanity. I know we're all distracted, and our technology has shortened our attention span, and, you know, we get carried away with our phones and stuff. But remember that we're people first, technology second. Yep. It's not technology first, people second. And at the very least, if you're on technology, you're with people, but you don't have to look at them. And I think that's another reason that people have become emboldened to say whatever comes to mind. There's no filter. So put our filters back on and become, you know, a little bit better mannered.
And, you know, tied to that is being personable. I mean, you want to be civil, be personable and down to earth.
Yep.
You know, in terms of manners, you know, say hello, how are you? They say, I'm fine, how are you? I'm good too, thanks. That's just, I don't know, it's civil, it's personable, and it's courteous. And, you know, smile at people. I mean, don't put people off. You may be having your stuff going on, your issues, whatever you got, but that's not their fault. And don't take it out on others that way, even in those little ways. So say thank you. And if it's important, somebody's done something for you and it's nice and it's really important, say thank you more than once. Let them know you appreciate it. It's not enough sometimes just to say, oh, hey, thanks for that. Appreciate you buying me that new house and car. Thanks. You know, I mean, come on. You know, if it's a big thing, you know, I mean, let them know. Express your appreciation. Let them know that you sincerely, deeply appreciate it. So say thank you more than once on relevant things. And when you're passing people, you know, don't just be oblivious. And I've talked about this before on my bike ride. You know, it's interesting because there's some days I'll pass a dozen or more people and, you know, probably better than half of them will reply to me when I say good morning. You know, I talked about this, I'm sure, a few weeks ago. I even had one guy beat me to the punch. You know, good morning. Hey, that's my line. Just kidding. But, you know, most people don't. They're in their own world. And when you stop and think about it, things only matter to the extent that they benefit somebody. Remember that. Things only matter to the extent that they benefit somebody. Cell phones, smartphones, gadgets, devices only matter to the extent that they benefit somebody. And that brings me back to, you know, the customer service thing. There are people and companies who should not be put in front of customers. And, you know, my example of a few minutes ago, you know, an electronics repair place, you know, they weren't that big. And so, you know, the people that were in front of customers, they're techs, you know. They're not the people who should be in front of customers as a rule. Now, there's always exception to the rule, but that's why you don't put just anybody in front of your customers, because they may not treat them right. So be personable and down to earth and be friendly, because, folks, this is what life's about. It's not about your stuff. It's not about my stuff. It's about our stuff. It's about being people and humans. And, you know, that's the gift that we have. We can interact in a highly evolved social manner that animals can't. You know, we have that ability. So be nice, you know, and when you're emailing, I mean, we've gone over this before, and we teach this in our curriculum. And I don't know how many times, I mean, I teach this, being human in a technological world, and I go through email etiquette. And I can't tell you how many times students who are way past that course will email me without so much as a hi, how are you, and that kind of thing. Now, many do, but a lot don't. And occasionally I'll put a PS, don't forget the email etiquette you learn in course B3. You know, because I'm supposed to be teaching here, and I take my role as an instructor very seriously, and I'm trying to help people grow and be better and more professional. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of times I'll get emails and they don't include their name or just their first name. Unless we interact an awful lot, I won't necessarily know who you are, because I have a lot of students, you know, many with the same first name. Some of the same last name. I even had two students with the same first and last name. And so those are the kind of professional, civil, well-mannered courtesies that we need to extend to one another because, you know, fast forward, you're on your deathbed. You know, what is it? What does your cell phone matter or any device or anything you were worried about a while ago? None of it matters anymore. But what does matter are the relationships that we had, the people we interacted with, the people we not only benefited, but we benefited from simply by knowing them, maybe emulating their good example. Those are the things that matter in life.
You know, there's a couple of comments in the chat. And, Dr. Angie said that, speaking for herself, she said she doesn't like to look at people, but through IMHS, she's learned to make a conscious effort to do that and to look at people in the eyes. She said, I still don't like it. And kudos to you, because here's two things that happen, Dr. Angie, just the other people, you know, for everybody else's benefit. Two things that happen. Your own esteem rises. But the other thing is that you're exchanging an energy, and that can be good or bad. When you look at people, one of the lessons I learned as a child, and my father said, probably one of the only good things he ever said to me, is when you're walking down the street, hold your head up, and you see people coming toward you, look at them in the face, because nobody will attack somebody who looks confident.
Yep.
So hear that again, everybody. If you're challenged by someone who is behaving badly, you look at them and just quietly stand your ground. Now, they might go a little ballistic, but they won't come to you because put it this way, abusers or people who are prone to violence only go for people with lesser, weaker energy where they can win. So remember that. So you are, Dr. Angie, when you look at people, you are putting your energy out there so you can, then you're going to decide how your energy is going to interact with people in a good way or look back off kind of way, you know, and it doesn't even have to be an aggressive back off. It can be a quiet back off. So here's the thing about dealing with other people who don't know what you know, or who aren't as conscientious as you are. And the students of IMHS and all of us in the group, we get this. We continue, of course we have the reminders, but we get it. But so many people are, if they got it before, they're losing it now. And this is how we set an example to other people of just saying, no, stop. Somebody's yelling at you. The first thing you do is walk away. If that's not working, you quietly say, please lower your voice. I'll talk to you. And then they get, you know, go worse. Then you dig deep and stand your ground in the most quiet warrior force. And I'll guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, they will not antagonize you further because they become afraid. And that's what I learned about abusers. Make them more afraid of you than you were of them.
Well, and let me put it in a little bit of a different, say the same thing in a different way.
Sure.
Bullies, they almost have a psychic ability to determine who they can pick on and get away with it.
They do. Yeah.
It's like the sixth sense that they have. And they can look at a person and they can almost instantly determine whether they can get away with it. And if they figure they can, they're going to try. And so the thing, when you stand up for yourself, even by looking at them with in a firm way and speaking calmly but firmly and softly, that type of thing, excuse me, I'm not going to do this with you. You stare them in the eye. I mean, you put up a confident front. That's standing up for yourself. Well, right away, they're going to see that the ROI is not very, very big. That means return on investment. They're not going to see a high ROI. They're going to see low. So, in other words, it's going to be more of a hassle to pick on you now, and they can't get away with it. So they're going to back off. Remember, bullies are cowards. They put up a big face. Their bark is a lot louder than their bite, as a rule. And they're not going to want to get into it with somebody who's going to fight back. It's just like deterrence for criminals. You know, you have lights on, you have a security system, you have a dog barking. They're not going to break into your house because the ROI is too low. It's not worth it. So remember that with bullies, you know, and speaking from somebody who was bullied all through school and didn't stand up for myself until the end, you know, and then they quit picking on me.
You know, Dr. Angie said she has trouble reading people's cues. So looking at them's helped a lot. Most people, that's what she's saying, most people don't say what they mean. So the body language and social cues have helped me a lot. That is critical. I'm really glad that you brought that up. What people say and what they do are very often in contradiction. Dr. Angie works with animals. Animals are true and pure. It's cause and effect, action, reaction. Like, animals don't lie. They're not manipulating unless the dog wants a treat, you know. But people are complex. So feeling the energy, watching body language and those social cues, as you call them, Dr. Energy, is really important. That dig deep in who you are and as far as you've come in your own evolution to start not just to read people, but then act on it. Now, Heather also mentioned something that's really important to talk about is she's a teacher and she said she leaves the bad day. Bad day, she doesn't take it out on her kids. When, you know, you get in the classroom, the rest of her life doesn't matter because it's not those kids' fault. It's in any situation. I might be really unhappy with a situation in my life, but the minute I talk to a client, that doesn't exist. The minute I talk to somebody else, don't wear your stuff with you. That's that old thing about monkey on your back or whatever you call it, you know.
On your shirt sleeve.
Yeah, it's... Remember, every situation, every individual is important. That's not to say you can't deal with your stuff later, but it's always going to be there. So you be the manager of yourself about when you're going to deal with your stuff. Well, I got an issue I need to think about, but I can't think about it right now. So that's self-management. But again, when you're dealing with other people who don't understand that self-management, who are out of control, which there seems to be a growing surge of this, I really believe that it'll start to turn around, but only when they're told they can't behave that way. You know, Dr. Kelly said something, we both agree, that the reason people have bad behavior and continue to do it is because they can. They do it because there's no consequence.
Yep.
They have other people feeding them. So it's, you know, don't feed it. But if you need to stand up to it in a way that you know will diffuse their energy or at least put it in its place. You can't change other people. That's the thing. You can't necessarily change their mind or think that you're going to sit and negotiate them into like this calm, healthy state. It's a situation that's going to come and go, and they're probably, you know, they have friends, they have family, everybody loves them, and they just had a bad moment. Or maybe they're just a jerk. Who knows? But in that moment, don't look to fix somebody. You only want to manage the situation so that sense, feel, think, and do, you know, or feel, sense, think, and do can be a really good formula for using all your parts. So it's not just your thinking or not just your emotion, but all those components of yourself to be able to handle it better and set a really good example. Hopefully for other people, because that's the only way this is going to shift again. You know, I think that there's always been bad behavior with people. I think a lot of it for a long time was contained, and now the lid's off. So now we need to contain it again and say, that's just not acceptable. I'm not going to allow that. But first rule, and I want to really reinforce this, the first rule of self-defense is to walk away. Don't look for trouble. Don't say, well, I'm confident I can handle this. It's just walk away. You see stuff online, social media. Don't feed into that. Don't answer it. Somebody's idiot comments. Don't feed it. It's likely a troll anyway.
Yeah.
And they like that kind of thing. So don't go in there. I've actually cleaned out friends, so-called friends, people I've even known for 40, 50 years, who I found out are right-wing Trump supporters, and I actually first, you know, messaged them and say, if I got this right, that you are believing in that? And they say, yeah. I say, okay, we just disagree. And I go through the delete button. I don't want that in my life. I don't want that stuff. I don't want to have to look at that all the time and say, what is wrong with those people? You know, it's, I don't need them in my life. So clean it out and don't feed it. And I've actually had a couple of people send me these really nice, we can still be friends thing. No, I believe that you should feed everybody and everybody's entitled to housing and you think it's survival of the fittest and screw those people. Well, we're in polarities here. And
philosophical differences.
But it's so huge that there is no mediation. There's no middle ground in that. Because they come from a completely different reality. And I have better things to do with my life. That's in my personal life. Clients, I have all kinds of clients with all kinds of beliefs. When I do a reading, it's to the spirit of somebody and their emotional, physical well-being and how I can plant seeds that they could evolve. That's my job. So it's keeping our relationships with other people in context. Know who's just a fleeting moment to who is relevant to, you know, what your job is, if that's your job. So, but, you know, just helping out that way. So if any of this helps you, first of all, we're acknowledging that there's a problem, the problem that we all deal with. We're finding skills to learn how to deal with it better. But, you know, the root here is that we retain our civility, that we are a civilized people. Most of us are. We might have a different way of holding the fork and a different way of serving the food, and that's all okay. But these, you know, the violence versus, you know, passive, there's somewhere in between, and that's that assertiveness to doing the right thing. Remember, do no harm, do right. And if we can just, you know, of course, it's such an integral part of our spiritual and human evolution to do no harm, not intentional. So,
all right.
That's just a reminder.
Great points we've talked about tonight. Now we've got a few folks who have put their name in the chat to have a card pulled. If you are not one of them and you'd like a card pulled, please put your name in there. These cards are from our Inner Oracle card deck. They're self-discovery cards. They have nuggets in them and many great points, and they're designed to get you thinking. And so we'll shift gears here. And Michael, we haven't heard from you, so if you'd like to start with Ronaldo, that would be awesome.
Oh, I'd be happy to. And Ronaldo, I pulled number 26, energy signature.
Goodman.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increasing awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the presence energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others, you can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
That's a great card. Energy signature is so important. In fact, you know, we could even tie that back to our previous discussion. You know, somebody, maybe you can look and find out who made the point that you basically teach people how to treat you. I'm sorry, I have to look back over the comments, but it was a great point. And that's our energy signature. That's the vibe we put out to the world. And that's how bullies can read a person to determine whether they can pick on them. They read their energy signature. So if you have an unhealthy energy signature, one that's of no confidence, low self-concept, low self-esteem, you know, that's going to show up in your countenance. It's going to show up in the way you hold yourself, in the way you speak, et cetera. And people can pick up on that. And it's not healthy. And, you know, it all comes back to like attracts like. So unhealthy energy signatures attract other unhealthy energy signatures and vice versa. It's an excellent card. All right. Looks
well,
like
if I have this right, Darlene is next.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Darlene. And then
Dr. Darlene, Sherry. Okay. I have number 2 in the wild card suit, and then some. So when you've reached your limits and believe you've done all that you can do, reach deep and to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than's needed and go beyond what's required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you're leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it. I think that's just speaking largely to our topic as well. But if you can relate to that in other levels, Darlene, then there's a little, you know, message in there for you too. I know it's that and then some. You know, we're having this discussion. It requires us to give it that extra effort, that extra and then some. So.
And Heather was the one that made that comment about teaching people how to treat you. So.
Yeah.
Good comment, Heather.
Good
Thanks.
One. Yeah. Great conversation in the chat tonight, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Michael, if you want to pick one out there for Sherry.
And Sherry, I've pulled number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are: you are accountable for your past, present, and future. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
A thinking kind of card tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have Fran next, and Fran, it's number 28, do no harm, do right. Kid you not. Well, you know, we harp on this one a lot on this program, but it's important and a good reminder for us all, but maybe this will resonate with you in a situation today, Fran. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there's a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. That's important. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right. Establish the foundation for all other principles. You know, it's true that other people do have a right, and they have their rights. So this is where I think we can draw the line, is when it does harm. So I just want to throw that in there. If there's that, you know, we don't want to infringe on the free will of others or their rights unless they're harming others. We have that, I think, is our responsibility for participation. To me, silence gives permission. Sometimes it's important to walk away,
yeah.
But there's a behavior that's going on. Silence says, oh, that's okay with me. And it emboldens the abusers. Just remember that. They say, oh, well, she didn't say anything. She agrees with me. Uh-huh. So that's just a little throw in
it's
there.
Essentially lying by omission, you know, and if you don't respond to something that you should respond to, then you're just condoning it. Remember the principle, what management permits, management condones. Don't ever forget that. What management permits, management condones. What you permit, you condone. What God permits, God condones. Just throwing that in there, no extra charge. All right, Dr. Jeff is next.
All right. For you, Michael?
And for Dr. Jeff, I pulled number 22, think for yourself.
Good one.
Well, they all tie in really nicely. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Another thinker.
Mm-hmm.
I like those. Well, Dr. Angie, thank you for all of your comments and participation in the chat and honestly, your candor. And sharing more of yourself, because I know that it helps other people who are chatting. And thanks to everybody else, too. But the reason I'm pointing to you, Dr. Angie, is because I just pulled a card for you. And it's number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness. Now, if I can just intuitively, kind of carry on with this for a second. Acknowledging who you are and how you are is what you've been sharing in the chat. I'm not so good with people, great with animals. People are hard to read and I don't like them, but, I face them anyway. That is self-mastery. The fact that you can dig deep and acknowledge who you are, but manage it so that it doesn't make you fearful of people. It doesn't make you fearful of yourself to say, I can't. Rather, you're saying, I can. You're saying, I don't like it. That's fair. But getting better at it. And I want to thank you for sharing all of that. But this is your self-mastery. This is awesome.
And the last card for tonight is Darren. Michael, if you'd pull one for Darren.
And Darren, I pulled number 5, Law of Control.
These all tie together,
Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Good stuff.
It is. What a great conversation and a nice full house tonight. We appreciate all of you. And, we know the basics of, good manners. We're always learning new ways to deal with other people and reminding ourselves of what we learned and how to put that into action. That's another reason we keep doing the programs and adding a new twist or something. And if you have something that you would like us to talk about, I know we've asked before, but please, write us an email or jump in the middle of a program and say, hey, and we'd be happy to shift gears talk about other topics too. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate everybody's interaction tonight. We talked about quite a number of things on being civil, having good manners, being in control of ourselves, masters of ourselves, and so forth. And so hopefully you found value in this program tonight, these points and nuggets. And a lot of times we know it, we just need to be reminded of it. So hopefully that's been the case for you. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, as always, and to Michael as well. And again, we appreciate those listening to the program live or those on the archives. We appreciate your time. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.